And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. On Tuesday morning, the city and borough of Juneau announced that masks will no longer be required on public transportation, like city buses or at Juneau International Airport. The decision happened fast. On Monday, a federal judge struck down the mask mandate for public transportation. People on social media posted videos of passengers taking off their masks mid-flight when pilots announced the change. The next day, the city and borough of Juneau announced that it wouldn't require masks on city buses anymore. That mask mandate had been in place since March of 2020. At the downtown transit center, a few hours after the announcement, it's clear that not everyone has gotten the memo yet. There aren't any signs on the buses or in the transit center about the change. And many riders are still wearing masks, some by choice and some because they haven't heard about the rule change. The city had a choice whether or not to have a mask mandate for bus service after the federal mandate was struck down. Denise Koch is with the city's Public Works Department. She has also been the second in command for the Emergency Operations Center, making decisions for the city during the pandemic.
The country and Juneau are moving from a more emergency posture surrounding COVID to a posture of living with COVID.
She says that the city's COVID leadership has been anticipating the end of public transportation mask mandates. But a federal judge striking it down suddenly wasn't expected, Koch says. Still, the plan has always been to follow federal guidelines based on Juneau's level of risk.
So given that the community is low risk, it just seemed to make sense.
Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson announced the end of mandatory mask wearing for his city's bus service. Some cities, like Seattle and Portland, have chosen to keep their mask mandate. Teen ambassadors from across the state will lead a virtual anti-tobacco summit this week. It's part of a peer-to-peer education program called Youth Encouraging Alaskans Health. Charlie S. is an adult organizer with the program. He says the teens get trained in public speaking and presenting before going to public health fairs and presenting in classrooms.
These are folks who are dedicated to making healthy lives for people they know. And so they come up with what they think is important, and then they come up with ways to present that where they think it will resonate to the folks they present to.
The teens create tobacco prevention videos that teachers across the state use in their classrooms. Layla Harrison is a sophomore at Soldotna High School. She and another ambassador from Anchorage just finished making an educational video about the dangers of vaping.
The best part for me is getting to teach other kids about how dangerous it is, because I see all these kids and they're vaping and they're smoking, like in the bathrooms and in the parking lots. And I want to educate them that it's not a good thing to do, that it harms them.
Lena Ides is a sophomore at Diamond High School in Anchorage. She says she got involved with the program because of a lot of her friends using vapes or e-cigarettes.
I know the effects of it, but a lot of kids don't. They just think it's like breathing in air, flavored air, but it's not. So I wanted to help kids and teens around Alaska and the lower 48.
Data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows that more than a third of Alaska teens have used some form of tobacco product. In other news, Wrangell Island's two cemeteries are nearly at capacity, and the community is looking for solutions. KSDK's Sage Smiley reports.
About a mile down Zamovia Highway, the older of Wrangell's two cemeteries is almost full. Graves dating back to the 1800s spill out of the trees onto the manicured lawn between Heritage Harbor and City Park. On paper, there are four spaces for full casket burials in Memorial Cemetery, but borough officials have previously run into issues with seemingly vacant plots at Memorial Cemetery actually being taken as wooden grave markers rotted away over the years. At Wrangell's other newer cemetery, about half a mile further down the highway, there are only three plots available. So space on the ground in the two cemeteries is pretty thin. How to solve the space issues in the short term? Build up. Earlier this month, Wrangell's Assembly agreed to spend almost $58,000 to purchase and install a new structure to hold cremated remains and new memorial plaques, called a columbarium. As of earlier this month, there were only 17 spots left in Wrangell's sole columbarium and no space for memorial plaques. The new 10,000-pound structure will be located at the Sunset Garden Cemetery and will have 100 new cubby-like spots for cremated remains and 96 new spots for memorial plaques. Assemblymember Bob Dalrymple has lived in Wrangell for more than a decade.
I think it's been discussed since I moved to town, so it's really good to see a pretty creative solution there, at least to get us through our current crunch.
It's part of the first phase of a larger cemetery expansion in Wrangell. At its April 12th meeting, the Assembly also approved moving forward with expanding the Sunset Garden Cemetery's plots for casket burials. Under that new plan, 10 new burial plots will be added to the southwest corner of the cemetery, and 40 new plots will be added into what is now the parking lot. Public Works Director Tom Wader told the Assembly that this first phase expansion will help tide the community over as it looks into more complicated cemetery expansion possibilities.
And then if we moved into phase two, which would involve going back into the woods, would require a lot more permitting and things like that, but we could get another 50 spots going back up into the woods.
Oh, fantastic.
Would require probably a little bit of a terraced approach to how it would be put in.
Wrangell's borough clerk says there have been about 3 full casket burials in community cemeteries each year. And Wader, the public works director, says that some past years had seen as many as 15 full casket burials within a year. Wader says that it's important to keep thinking ahead and not lose steam on expanding the cemetery after this first phase expansion.
If we did have, God forbid, a bad year and lots of people pass away or anything like that, we don't want to be in the same position 5 years from now, out of space, or 10 years from now, whatever the case may be. If to be forward thinking, to consider phase two, you know, with enough time for the ground and everything to settle appropriately to be able to put caskets and things in the ground.
As cemetery expansion gets underway and the new columbarium is set up, Borough Clerk Kim Lane said limiting spot reservations will also be an important part of ensuring the longevity of Wrangell's burial grounds.
We've seen in the past that somebody would reserve 12. I've seen somebody reserve 16 spots, and they still have several available, and they don't want to relinquish them. And so I think if we control how many we let people reserve, I think that we can have a better handle on this.
At the Borough Assembly's next meeting on April 26th, Lane said she would be bringing a resolution to limit the number of possible spots that can be reserved in the cemetery expansion or columbarium to 2 per person, along with other possible revisions to the borough graveyard's rates and fees. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Denali climbing season is right around the corner. KTNA's Philip Manning spoke with the Denali National Park and Preserve South District Ranger, Tucker Chenoweth, about the upcoming season.
There's not the usual preseason hustle happening at hotels and other tourism operations in the Denali region.
With many businesses either opening late or some actually have announced that they're not opening at all.
Denali Borough Mayor Clay Walker says April is typically when the area's visitor industry begins ramping up to prepare for the summer season.
In this month of April and May, we receive typically, you know, thousands of seasonal employees. We don't foresee that happening on such a scale, of course. Right now, the way the mandates are, employees should not be coming here.
We have, you know, a year-round population in the Denali borough of about 2,000 people. And there's close to that number that come here as seasonal workers.
Vanessa Juzak is executive director of the Denali Borough Chamber of Commerce. Juzak says the chamber represents 128 businesses, about 50% of which are tourism-based, with others also largely dependent on visitors.
Directly impacted by the visitation, even though they're not geared toward that. You know, gas stations or car service.
Juzak says the chamber surveyed members about the upcoming season earlier this month prior to some of the pandemic restrictions.
But the numbers even then were pretty grim in terms of the responses that we got. 68% were seeing significant cancellations for the season. And almost 50% of them were seeing cancellations greater than 50% of their seasonal business for the year.
Juzak says that means negative cash flow for the businesses, about 40% of which said they would be in danger of closing if the trend continues. She says the situation has the chamber helping business owners navigate applications for loans to stay afloat. Meanwhile, Mayor Walker says the prospect of no summer tourist business also presents a bleak financial picture for Denali Borough government.
80% of our total revenue does come from the overnight accommodations tax, and it would be a massive hit, almost almost catastrophic, frankly.
Mayor Walker, the Chamber's JUSAC, and others have formed the Denali Recovery Alliance, an effort to position the borough to rebound after the pandemic downturn. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
And today is the first day of the year over 50 degrees in Juneau, currently 51. This is KTOO.